Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. It's Black Friday. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving, and I don't know what you're doing today if you're, well, obviously you're listening to the radio, but if you're out shopping or if you're enjoying a little bit more time with family, relaxing at home, maybe some of you even went back to work. Goodness sake, I hope that's not the case, but whatever it is, I hope that you're enjoying yourself and living in the Lord's great love today. You know, as Black Friday, and that's going to form kind of the subject of the first half of our show, which is great. We've got a little bit of an excerpt from some interviews that took place at the Mall of America, which we'll get to in just a second. But we'll also have Father John Paul Erickson talking to us about Thanksgiving, about Black Friday, and about Advent, which is, believe it or not, upon us. It is here. So I hope that you can stick with us. After that, we're going to talk with Archbishop Hebda and Father John Ubel, the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul, about the close of the Year of Mercy. So it sounds like we've got a great show lined up, and I'm hoping that you can stick with us for the duration, even if you're in your car going from one place of shopping to another. All right. So as usual, though, let's pause and let's commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so as I said, Crystal Crocker and Susanna Boley from the Archdiocesan Office of Evangelization and Catechesis went to the Mall of America to get people's responses to the mall's decision to be closed yesterday on Thanksgiving Day. And of course, this little excerpt here was pre-recorded before Thanksgiving, but I think you'll enjoy what they found. Let's have a listen.
I agree with them because I suppose, like everybody else, people, employees, want to you know, be with their families too. And I applaud all those businesses doing that. I'm not a big shopper person, especially in Black Friday.
Okay, so how do you plan on spending Thanksgiving?
With the family, absolutely. Yeah. And just entertain at home and playing games, but just spending with family.
Well, I think that Thanksgiving is a family holiday, and I don't think that there's any reason to go out shopping on that one day. People are going to buy the same amount no matter what, which days they shop. And so I think that the whole Thanksgiving and Black Friday thing are just out of control, and people should just be home with their families. Like I said, I think people are going to buy the same amount of gifts no matter when they shop, so I don't understand the hype of, you know, doing it over that holiday weekend. And so, yeah, I think it takes away from families. I think people should just spend that time at home.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, the word is, the holiday is Thanksgiving. You're giving your thanks, and I feel like Thanksgiving is a lot about family and love and tradition. I feel like if you keep the mall open, everybody has to come in and, you know, dedicate their time to their job, which they're here, you know, 7 days a week anyways. I think it's nice that they close it down and think about their families. Black Friday, is it the day after or
the
before?
The day after.
The day after. I mean,
will you be shopping on Black Friday or will you be with your family?
I'll probably be with my family. I'm not an early person. I mean, I didn't know it was open Black Friday. That's interesting because don't people come in at like really early in the morning?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a shopping thing, but if they're going to give it off for Thanksgiving, they should give it off for Black Friday, I guess. But I mean, everybody comes to the Mall of America. It's huge. There's so many stores, but it's not all about like money and shopping.
I feel that it's okay for the Mall of America to be able to be closed, let the holidays for the employees get an off day if they want to.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a nice thing.
Okay. How about Black Friday? Will you shop on Black Friday?
I'm shopping on Black Friday. I'm shopping on Black Friday.
Okay. Family on Thursday.
I think that's what's going to make the Black Friday sales go up with Thanksgiving being closed.
That's Crystal Crocker and Susanna Boley at the Mall of America, getting people's take on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, family, and shopping. Well, stay with us, because after the break, we'll be speaking with Father John Paul Erickson about these same issues and about Advent, which, folks, is just a couple of days away. So stick with us.
Rediscover. With Bridgestone Blizzak tires, you'll drive with confidence this winter. Bridgestone's newest Blizzak WS80 tires are made with multi-cell technology and a specially designed tread to give you exceptional grip when driving in slippery, hazardous weather conditions. So conquer the cold with Bridgestone Blizzak tires. And don't let cold, hard pavement, patchy snow, slush, or ice keep you from getting where you need to go. Available at Westside Tire in Corcoran, they have Blizzak tires to fit your vehicle, available today. 763-420-2100. In this season, your car's tires and brakes are especially important. Add potholes or sliding into a curb, and you can instantly wreak havoc on your car or truck's alignment. The champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran can fix the problems of lack of traction, stopping, or alignment. Come and see the team at Westside Tire for whatever the road throws at you. Just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire, they'll take care of you.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
And with the Lord there is mercy. And with the Lord there is...
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. This is Patrick Conley joining you on this Black Friday. And as we think about the holidays of Thanksgiving and Black Friday, well, Black Friday a holiday? I don't think we can even call it that, can we? If we think about the holiday of Thanksgiving and this cultural phenomenon that we now have called Black Friday, I mean, what are the differences here, and how can we as Catholics address what these holidays actually bring to us? Joining me on the phone today is Father John Paul Erickson, the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship and the pastor of Blessed Sacrament in St. Paul. Father, good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for the opportunity very much. And a one-day late blessed Thanksgiving to you and to all those that you love and that you serve.
That's a great lead-in, actually, Father. Thank you for that. And it's a great lead-in to my first question to you, which was, we've just come through this great holiday of Thanksgiving, and let's talk a little bit more about the role that giving thanks plays in the life of faith. What are we as Catholics to live in terms of giving thanks?
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. You know, the first thing that must be said, I think, is that the sacrament of sacraments is a prayer of thanksgiving. The word Eucharist, as you know, is a Greek term for Thanksgiving. Eucharistia means to give thanks. And so right there at the very beginning, at the source and summit of our faith, we encounter a ringing consonance with this natural holiday of giving thanks to God for the natural bounties of our vast United States, but also the great gifts we've received in terms of our history, which has really been certainly not a perfect history, but also a history full of honor and grace. It has been, despite our frailties. And we as Christians, insufficiently we respond to the graces given to us by the Lord. The graces have been given, the primary grace, of course, being the saving death and resurrection of the Messiah. And that instills within us a deep sense of gratitude. Everything we have, everything that we need, Patrick, and the spiritual life has been bestowed upon us. It's there for the taking. You might say the table's been laid out. We have to come, and we have to receive these gifts, and in reception of them, it is only right and just, as the Mass itself says, to give thanks. Everything we have in the spiritual life, and I mean everything, is a gift. Everything. And because of that, our spiritualities must be one of profound gratitude, both within the Mass, which again is a synonym for Thanksgiving, Eucharistia, but also our day-to-day living. So there's a profound connection, and we can learn a lot from even natural holidays like Thanksgiving.
Right, and I believe that understanding that our everything that we have is gift, I think St. Paul actually talks about that, doesn't he? I mean, he says, what Amen. Do you have that's not a gift?
Amen. Amen. Very important to remember. You know, we one of the real wicked fruits that have come from the fall is a sense that that we make our own destiny, that we can fashion who we want to be. Now, of course, on some level, that's entirely accurate. We've been given gifts and talents, and we have freedom. We have freedom to use them as you know, the circumstances warrant.
Sure.
But at some fundamental level, everything is grace. Everything. And what is grace? It is gift. We don't have to be, and you know, I think we do well to think about that, especially when we begin to maybe feel sorry for ourselves or look around at, you know, the difficulties we're enduring. Our very existence, every single moment, is a gift. Every single moment. So not only on the supernatural level should we give thanks to God, but on the natural level, what's that old song? You know, I see skies of blue, and what a wonderful world.
Right.
Well, that's a pretty Christian song. You know, it's a Christian song because the Christian, even in the midst of suffering and death, recognizes that he or she is loved by God and has been given the graces we need to see him forever in heaven. So, as St. Paul says, give thanks in everything. Everything you have, everything right. is a gift.
Right. And you also used the euphemism before about the table has been laid out,
you
right?
Got it.
The analogy that's.
And I might say, Patrick, the beer has been poured. Okay?
Now you're speaking my language. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, right.
It's all been given.
So, yes, and gathering around a huge table, as I did, and I'm sure that many of our listeners did yesterday, and that is a good and analogical way of us understanding from this natural holiday how we are to give thanks, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one feature, too, of Thanksgiving that I want to connect to the spiritual life that perhaps sometimes we don't think about as much, again, as we should, and that's the fact that Thanksgiving draws together sometimes individuals that maybe haven't spoken for a while or there's some tension. I know that within the Conley household, everybody gets along all the time, but out in the real world, sometimes that doesn't always happen, including within families.
Right.
Well, couldn't it be said the same idea within the church? You know, we are, of course, called to be known by our love. That's fundamental. Mm-hmm. But we're also fallen, broken human beings, and our personalities don't always mesh real well. But we don't get to choose who our fellow Christian is. That has been chosen by God. You know, the hand, to use another image of St. Paul, the body of Christ, the hand doesn't get to say, I want a different arm. You know,
right.
The arm doesn't get to say, I want a different shoulder. No, you get what you get. And in the sense of the spiritual life, you lift your head up from the waters of baptism, you look around the table set for you in the great altar here on earth that prefigures heaven, and you see people that you would never have imagined, never, that you'd be eating with.
Mm-hmm.
But there
right.
they are, and
right.
That's a beautiful thing to reflect upon.
Right, and as a good pastor friend of mine once said, to me, it's not happiness and the idea of giving thanks and receiving gratefully. It's not about having what you want. It's about wanting what you have, right?
So amen to that. Amen to that. Very
absolutely.
Important. And so much of our struggles, not all of them, I admit, but so many could be remedied if that attitude was embraced by us truly, you know?
Right.
It's a very important principle.
Yeah, we receive it as gift. Well, so now, Father, okay, so We've eaten all the turkey. We've taken our tryptophan naps.
Yes, right. Yes, tryptophan.
Right.
Naps.
We've probably in front of the TV watching football and that sort of thing. So, but then we go to bed and we wake up and now it's Black Friday. We've come to Black Friday, and you know, as we know, the day after Thanksgiving, it's long been billed the busiest shopping day of the year, and of course. There's retailers have, you know, they can do all that they are doing all that they can to, well, to capitalize, literally, to make money, right, on this shopping rush, including moving opening hours. Well, first, and, you know, certainly this was not that long ago where it was first, it was 6 a.m. and then 5 a.m. and then 4 a.m. on Black Friday. Then it moved back to midnight. And then suddenly, as you know, recently in the last couple of years, it's moved back up into Thanksgiving itself. And to me, I'm not trying to lead the witness here, as it were, but to me, there's a fundamental disconnect here because it seems like on the one hand, we're gathered together around a table with family, we're having a meal together, we're giving thanks for all we've been given, and then the next day, we're vying with complete strangers, you know, for, you know, electronics and home goods and clothing and toys, not to mention parking spots. Right,
right? Exactly.
And even, I mean, this is what just blows my mind that, you know, even on in recent history in the last 10 years, there have been like 7 reported deaths. on Black Friday and 98 injuries throughout the United States. So what do you think, Father? Isn't this an attitudinal flip between Thanksgiving and Black Friday? Isn't it kind of oxymoron?
It's a great point. And I you mentioned about those terrible deaths on Black Friday. What an awful thing. I've seen some of these videos, you know, of people literally climbing on top of each other to get, you know, to get the latest Play box or iBox or iPhone, whatever the thing is called.
Right.
And that is a problem. I think, Patrick, it really boils down to, as you say, an attitude and motivation. Unfortunately, in talking to some of my friends who participate in this, and by this I mean, you know, getting up very early on the Friday after Thanksgiving today and zooming about buying items that are on sale, it's become less about buying gifts for our loved ones and more about getting sales for ourselves. And I think right there, I see the biggest problem is that it's become about, you know, what I can get, which, as you say, is the exact opposite of really the spirit of gratitude, which leads to a spirit of service, which leads to a spirit of what can I give back for what I've received. On the other hand, I also want to avoid, you know, sounding too down on Black Friday because I think that if it is done in a spirit of joy, of gratitude and a spirit of service, there's something to it. Now, again, I am not advocating for an expansion of a day which is dedicated to as you say, rampantly, you know, fighting against each other for parking spaces and things. I have to say that there's something to be said for a day in which you go out with your brothers and sisters and look for something to give to other people.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, you know, I part of it depends upon how you look at it, how you live it. With so much in the spiritual life, motivation matters. Motivation matters. Why am I doing this? You know, our motivation can change an objectively good act into a bad act. It can't change an objectively bad act into a good act, but at the very least, it can change a morally neutral act, like shopping, into a good thing, into an act of love. So we got to examine our hearts, and if the heart's in the right spot, and as silly as that sounds sometimes, but if our heart's in the right spot, then I think it can be okay. But we got to be real careful, and we got to watch ourselves. And first and foremost, we have to tend to our family and be attentive to those that have gathered to be with us on this great holiday.
So it shouldn't be an excuse to abandon that uncle that you don't don't want to be around.
That's exactly right. Leave the, you know, abandon all of your family that's, you know, sleeping off their tryptophan, you know, experience.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So if we survive Black Friday today, if we make it through and if we actually, I love what you're saying, Father, that, you know, in a sense, we're giving Black Friday a new makeover, a new look. It's about giving Friday. It's about sacrificial Friday, that you're out there to give of yourself as the Lord asks of us each and every day. So that's one of our missions now for today, for Black Friday. And then if we survive through that and successfully make it through Saturday, then we're on to the first Sunday of Advent.
Amen. You know?
So let's talk a little bit about that. So tell us a little bit about what Advent is and what the practices and fruits of observing Advent are.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, Advent, of course, comes from that word which means waiting and Adventus. Something is rising up. It's coming. We're waiting for something to arrive. And certainly, of course, that is the birth of the Messiah that we celebrate on Christmas. But Advent is also it's also a waiting for the return of the King. At the end of time, we just celebrated just this past weekend, Christ the King Sunday, when we remember that the Lord is the master of the universe.
Right.
He is the Lord of all.
Amen.
And he will, and we believe this, and the creeds proclaimed every single Sunday, every single solemnity, he will return to judge the living and the dead. And as the old traditional blessing says, and the world by fire, Jesus will come again. And the Advent that we commemorate beginning this Sunday is not only a preparation for Christmas in time now, not only looking back to the babe at Bethlehem, it's also looking forward. And I really would urge all of the listeners, starting with myself, to use this time well. And that means to really use it as it's meant to be used. And and I've gone from defending Black Friday, now I'm going to go the opposite extreme, and I'm going to be a Debbie Downer in terms of having Christmas parties during Advent.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
And I say this, of course, slightly tongue-in-cheek, because schedules are schedules, and practicalities are practicalities, and it's not always possible to do these things perfectly. But I do think it's important to be a liturgical people, and part of that means that we should abide by the spirit of Advent, which is a spirit of quiet, a spirit of waiting, a spirit of you might say low burning joy.
There you go. I like it.
Kind of a simmer of joy,
right?
Because we are looking forward to the coming of Christmas, but we also, as people of hope, as people of gratitude, we also look forward. We look forward to the return of the King. It's not just a moment of terror. The return of the King is a moment of great joy, where all suffering, all death, all of the poor are the death and suffering is eliminated. The poor are raised up. Tears are no more, and that's something to be joyful about. It does require discipline to use Advent well. And here, Patrick, I think we need to remember that to celebrate well, we have to be people of discipline. Now, that can sound like a contradiction to our modern ears, especially when pleasure is so readily accessible with a flick of a switch and a
right.
press of a button.
Right.
But the fact is that to truly celebrate well, to truly enjoy the graces of Christmas, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to meditate upon the readings given to us by Holy Mother Church, the prophecies of Isaiah. We need to strive to make our homes a place of waiting and, dare I say it, of quiet. Yes, the Christmas carols are beautiful in Advent, beautiful, but we also have beautiful tunes such as O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, these more, I would say, somber tones, which are beautiful, which are hopeful, but which are not the full-throated exaltation of Christmas just yet.
Right.
And finally, I promise you, finally, we should take Advent as a time to really serve our brothers and sisters, to remember that when the Lord returns, He will ask us, as Matthew makes very clear, He will ask you, what did you do for the least of my brothers and sisters? Advent gives us plenty of opportunities to do this and to contribute to the needs of the poor, to contribute to, you know, to special collections, to serve our fellow man in the variety of charities around town. Advent must be about preparing ourselves for the return of the King, who has a special love for the poor, and so too in our own life. We too need to, like those shepherds of Bethlehem, go to the stable, go to the soup kitchen, go to the street corner, and to encounter the babe of Bethlehem who comes to us now. He comes to us now in the face of the poor, in the face of the weak. And we have to prepare during Advent to be ready to give an account of our life and how we have done that. So make use of Advent, folks. Make use of Advent.
Yes, I like what you said there, Father, about to celebrate well, we need to exercise discipline. And that, to me, just suggests that waiting in the church's mind, in the church's eyes, waiting is actually, it's not a passive activity, right? It is active. And as a friend of mine put it very recently, I mean, she said that in the Christian life, in the Catholic life, that waiting is demanded of us.
Amen.
And that's why we have seasons like Advent and Lent. But hesitation is not. Right?
And that's a very, very good. I like that a lot. And that aspect of waiting has been with the tradition all the way since the very beginning, when the Lord, and by that I mean the God the Father, speaking to Adam, when He says, you know, a Messiah will come to you, and He will come and He will crush the head of the serpent. From the very beginning, we've been waiting. The Jewish people waited for the Messiah in slavery. The prophets waited for the fulfillment of the words that they were called upon to speak. The Jewish people wait for the return of the King. We wait for the return of the Lord. Waiting is a part of our faith, and it's been so since the very beginning. We don't like to do it, and one of the things that we struggle against in our current day, and there are many good things that we have in our modern day, but one of the unfortunate, and I would say perhaps even disastrous consequences of all of our electronics, all of our media, even dare I say it, fast cars, okay?
Oh, boy.
Even, dare I say it, I'm sounding like a Luddite, I realize. but they can become they can dull us to that need to wait. I mean, my goodness, brother, I just this morning I was looking online and I had to wait for all of 5 seconds for my computer to load.
How infuriating.
I felt like the computer was conspiring against me, and I wanted, you know, violence was about to ensue. Talk about Black Friday.
Right.
But it just goes to show that we're a very impatient people, and we have to examine that, because impatience leads to blindness to the poor. It leads to blindness to our own spiritual poverty. It can have truly disastrous consequences. So we have to learn to wait again.
Mm-hmm. Our guest has been Father John Paul Erickson from the Archdiocesan Office of Worship and the pastor of Blessed Sacrament in St. Paul. Father Erickson has been talking about Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and the upcoming Sunday of Advent, Advent 1, the first Sunday in Advent. Father, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Patrick. Always a pleasure, and we'll see you around.
Yeah, and could we ask one more thing? Could we ask a blessing from you, Father?
Absolutely. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We ask Almighty God, the God who will come to judge the living and the dead, to bless you and to bless all those that you love. God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Okay, you too. Stick with us. We're going to be back after this short break here on the Rediscover Hour.
This is Caroline Becker for Becker Building and Remodeling.
And Maria, too. Hey, Sarah, have you noticed Dad's a little preoccupied with something?
Yeah, maybe because Annette's driving him nuts now that she's moved back to Minnesota.
I feel like he's planning something big and hasn't told us yet.
That's because he knows his daughters can't keep a secret.
Well, we know Dad's been helping Relevant Radio listeners with quality and functional kitchen remodels, open floor plans, and new homes for years now.
And now that Annette has joined the Becker Building and Remodeling team, there must be something cool happening. Annette, do you know something?
Well, I did move back to help Dad with a special plan within the business, but I'm sworn to secrecy.
That's not fair.
Yeah, what about the rest of us?
Guys, Dad's not gonna tell us. We just have to keep listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned
and growing business you can trust. 612-363-0493 or choosebecker.com.
Just as Jesus has remained in our sufferings, we too grow so much by remaining in the sufferings of others and walking through difficult times with them. It can be a very beautiful way to express love.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
Come along, I'll walk you through the world. And we will sing a different song.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. We've been talking about Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and the upcoming Sunday of Advent, which means a new liturgical year. But of course, looking backwards a little bit, should old acquaintance be forgot, and the old liturgical year and the close of the year of mercy. So we turn now to something that we should be always thankful for, which is the mercy of God, which Pope Francis instituted this extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy that we have just completed now. And we're going to speak with the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul, Father John Ubel, as well as Archbishop Hebda, on their take on what went on in the Year of Mercy. And Father Ubel joins us now over the phone. So good morning, Father.
Well, good morning, Patrick. I'm delighted to be with you today.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Now, Father, specifically, you were one of these missionaries of mercy that we heard about. So could you tell us a little bit about your role as a missionary of mercy through the Year of Mercy and how the whole idea of the missionary of mercy came about?
Well, I'd be happy to do so. So the entire Year of Mercy was being operated through the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. So that dicastery in Rome was charged with all the different events that took place throughout the year. It was an incredible schedule that they kept. There were jubilees for all sorts of groups, lay people, clergy, religious, you name it, really. We were forming one portion of the idea of the Holy Father to extend mercy throughout the world by having certain priests that were entrusted and commissioned by the Holy Father to really preach his love and mercy at their home dioceses, but also to be able to act on his behalf in a few particular situations particular sins that have ecclesiastical penalties attached to them. I think altogether about 1,100 priests throughout the world who were commissioned as missionaries of mercy. About 700 of us were actually able to make it to Rome in the days right before Ash Wednesday last February.
Right. And speaking of that, being commissioned in Rome by the Holy Father on Ash Wednesday, that seems like quite an honor there. Any highlights from that particular trip that you'd care to share?
So whenever you check in, when you arrive in Rome at the gate there with the customs agent, they always ask you, are you here for business or pleasure? This was actually the first time I was able to answer for business.
Very good.
And I did that with a certain sense of humility, but also some pride.
Sure.
It was a three-day program. It was very much like a retreat. Mm. I stayed in a place I'd never stayed before, a clergy house, if you will, in the city of Rome. We were encouraged to go to confession ourselves. We went on a very long walk all the way from Castel Sant'Angelo down the Via della Conciliazione into St. Peter's Basilica through the Holy Door.
Wow.
While everybody else was kind of standing aside, they shut off the flow of people. There were people lined up as far as you could see. It was amazing. But they had prepared this. We walked right down. We all were saying prayers and chanting in our own languages. So you simply picked up a brochure, a prayer guide, a liturgy guide, if you will, and we walked through and all the way around the church and then back out the door and then all the way around the back of the basilica. I'd never walked back there before. This is all in solemn procession. I think it probably took about 45 minutes. And then we wound up in one of the meeting rooms in the Apostolic Palace where the Holy Father addressed us.
Wow, amazing. It sounds like a little bit of a foretaste of heaven there with so many different languages and cultures represented, but all joining together in one great act of worship, it sounds like.
It really was. And, of course, occasionally you'd be able to visit with somebody. A number of people speak English. I'm able to at least get by in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was interacting with somebody who was from a different country, it would simply be a head nod and a smile, even if we couldn't communicate via language. We knew why we were there, and we knew who each other was. And so that was really something. And I think that talk that he gave was very, very powerful. I mean, I had a couple of takeaways from it. And I've preached about it, but he used the image of Noah and the nakedness of Noah in Genesis 9. And he was saying to us, you have to understand that when you are in the confessional, before you is a person who is like that, who is naked spiritually, if you will, and a person who may not be able to know what to say, with the weaknesses, maybe some shame. And then he said this, he said, before us is not a sin, but a contrite sinner. So he clearly made that distinction. I also recall towards the end of his talk, and I don't know if he was throwing this in on his own or if it was part of the prepared text, but he basically said, do not be asking too many questions out of curiosity. This is not the heart of a good shepherd. Listen to people. Be with them in their brokenness. But you're not here as, you know, if you will, as like unto an inquisitor. Certainly not out of curiosity. It was just a gentle but forceful reminder to all the priests who were there. It was very, very powerful.
Right. Wow. So you've served now through the Year of Mercy as this missionary of mercy at the cathedral there and hearing confessions. I know from being there myself that there are sometimes very long lines for a confession at the cathedral. But do you have any particular, now I'm not asking you, Father, of course, to break the seal, but do you have any particular experiences of hearing those confessions that really stick out to you in terms of, I mean, did you see an increase in the number of penitents who would come, an increase in people who were, maybe they've been away from the church, from the sacrament from a long time, anything like that, that was remarkably different?
Absolutely. First of all, we do hear confessions 6 days a week at the cathedral as it is, and we're usually pretty busy. But there was certainly a noticeable uptick this year, to the point where even though I try to go as quickly as reasonably possible, there are a number of times when I simply had to stop because I was getting ready for Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'd even start Mass, quite honestly, a little bit late. I think people are understanding of that. Sometimes the people are not super happy if they're turned away. But then there are times when you say, well, just please come by after Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely an uptick. There's no question about it, including people, and I don't think this is inappropriate to share, who have been away for a long time or more to the point, who have said what brought them here was the Year of Mercy.
Right.
I also know that at the cathedral, I wrote a brief brochure about the Holy Year Indulgence, and we had some prayer cards, and I think we probably produced nearly 15,000 of each. And certainly many more people than that went through the doors, but that's how many people at least took the brochures and the prayer cards. Sometimes they would pray and then put them back, of course, but that was a significant statistic there. I also, back on the day after the Holy Year ended, that is last Monday, Archbishop Fisichella, who is the head of the Pontifical Council, gave some statistics. You know this about me. I'm a statistics guy.
That's right, yes.
It's not with baseball, certainly with the church. And get rid of some of these. This is incredible. So yeah. They are claiming that over 20 million people registered to go through the four holy doors in Rome.
Wow.
20 million. They also spoke about, in getting reports back from the dioceses, that typically speaking, most dioceses were reporting that between, say, 55% and 60% of their Catholic population participated in some way. So we obviously were not able to keep track of specific numbers of people who went through the doors.
Right.
So I'm not exactly sure how they get that number, but these are some of the reports that people have been giving. Maybe they did some surveys of people. But the fact of 20 million people, I think, is just incredible.
That's amazing. Our guest is Father John Ubel, the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul and a missionary of mercy through the Year of Mercy, reflecting on that. So, Father, with all these things that have come up, that have obviously we see people just seeking the Lord and His mercy through in all these different ways through the extraordinary Year of Mercy. I hope it's not too personal to ask, but how has this affected you personally in your own life of faith?
Well, certainly my hope is that it has made me a better confessor. It's actually to the point where on occasion I may have a archdiocesan meeting. No offense meant to the archdiocese or the archbishop, but if it took place at 4 o'clock in an afternoon, that meant I had to get a substitute for confessions. And quite honestly, the longer the year went on, the less pleased I was to call up to get a substitute. So in other words, I felt very much as if this is my post and this is where I belong.
Sure.
And then the real surprise for me was, again, at that same press conference this past Monday,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Father issued a new letter just closing the Holy Year
right.
of Mercy. But there was a surprise in there because he said quite clearly in that letter that the particular mandate of the Missionary of Mercy will not expire. He's going to extend it indefinitely.
Right, I saw that. It's
interesting because we had received an email letter, but thanking us for our service maybe about a month ago, saying, now just remember that at the end of the day on Christ the King, those particular faculties that you've been given will expire, as we explained.
Interesting.
And so obviously there was some kind of change between that letter and the release of this new document.
Yeah, no limits on God's mercy, to be sure. So that actually leads well into a final question for you, Father, which is, what ways can we keep the spirit of the Year of Mercy alive even now beyond the Year of Mercy?
I think for one thing, we have to acknowledge the tremendous success of this initiative. I think it really, quite honestly, blew away all ideas moving into it. I really do. I think it's been the most amazing initiative of Pope Francis's pontificate. And so lest it just whittle away, mm-hmm. we have to keep the spirit going. Another thing that was said in the letter was the idea of the 24 hours for the Lord. That was one of the highlights here at the cathedral, as we had well over 70 priests volunteer to help for an hour of confessions. We heard them, as you know, for 24 hours straight.
Right.
He is really asking dioceses to consider doing that again. So that'll be a top priority list for me, is to try to arrange that again, because I think whatever we can do to encourage people not only to receive it through the sacrament of penance, but to show mercy to others, I think we're a stronger church because of it. So I think it really does fall to us now to keep that spirit alive and not just see it as a one-year deal.
Right. We receive mercy, we show mercy, we live mercy, right? Our guest has been Father John Ubel, the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul, and as a missionary of mercy. Father, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So stick with us, and as we continue the conversation about the end of the year of mercy, we're going to come back and speak with our very own Chief Shepherd, Archbishop Bernard Hebda. So that'll be with us right after this upcoming break.
We have tremendous devotion to Faustina and tremendous devotion to the Divine Mercy Chaplet that we pray. It's the most listened to half hour on our network every afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time and 3 o'clock Central Time. And Father Kashmir Shvalek, Faustina the Mystic and Her Message, it's said to be the first definitive biography.
She was so focused on Jesus, especially in the Eucharist. Eucharist for her was a source of almost all spiritual power, all the extraordinary graces that she received, her love for the Eucharist, for the love of Jesus present in the Eucharist. And then secondly, in the Paschal Mystery, Christ suffering, dying, and rising. She wanted to be with him. She wanted to console him. She wanted to assist him in saving others. And that became so powerful because we're at the heart of who we are as Christians, sharing that communion, that love with him, you know, that love that he has for us.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
By now, O Lord, I see my love.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, where we've been talking about the close of the Year of Mercy, and we are privileged to have with us our own Chief Shepherd to speak on that, Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Archbishop Hebda, it's great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be with you this morning.
Great. Wonderful. Well, Black Friday to you. Was your hopefully everything went well with Thanksgiving.
Everything went well.
Very good. So as we talk about, you know, this year of mercy has drawn to a close. We just had Father Ubel from the Cathedral on the phone as a missionary of mercy. But could you speak a little bit about what the year of mercy has meant for you both personally and as our shepherd here in the Archdiocese?
Yes, thank you. Great question. I think personally the year really has been an opportunity to do what the Holy Father asked, and that's to really reflect on how God in his goodness has shown me his mercy, and then to be looking at those ways in which I'm able to be an instrument of mercy for others. And that's been the year has been a prolonged opportunity for that kind of reflection. And certainly in recent weeks and recent days, it's been that question for me as to what it is that we're called to do now that the year of mercy has closed, and how it is that I might continue to be that instrument of mercy that I know God is asking all of us to be. So on a personal level, it's been in that way. I think in terms of the Archdiocese, I really think that the year of mercy was a privileged opportunity for us to consider the situation in which we find ourselves, the particular situation,
right.
Also to see how it is that the Lord continues to show us his tender love, and then how it is that he's calling us to be a church in which mercy reigns. And I think that was one of the brilliant parts of the Pope closing the year of mercy on the feast of Christ the King, that we come to recognize that if we're going to recognize Christ as our King, he's the King of mercy, and that if we're going to be good citizens in that kingdom, if we're going to really do what we can to build up that kingdom, then we have to be committed to imitating Christ, and most especially in the way in which he gives a priority to mercy. I can tell you I've been really edified by seeing how it is that our people have responded to this call and to the year of mercy. On last Saturday, which would have been the last Saturday of the Year of Mercy, I was in my office doing some work, and my office looks out on the cathedral.
Yes.
And I can tell you that the faithful of our archdiocese were really putting Father Ubel and his collaborators to work. And I found myself wondering if there was some event that was scheduled at the cathedral. That's
right.
How many cars there were. And it was this constant influx of people. And then I realized it's just people coming for the sacrament of reconciliation. And how beautiful is that? And
I was really edified by that. I had had the opportunity at some points during the year to help Father Ubel in the confessional,
mm-hmm.
and you know, always was amazed by the number of people, the devotion that they brought to the sacrament, and just by the wonderful way in which this year of mercy is obviously bearing fruits in our archdiocese. I was really happy that the Holy Father is asking us as a church universal to reflect on how we're going to continue that. And then looking at the document that he signed on the last day of the Year of Mercy and that was issued just this past Monday, of seeing how it is, for example, that he's really suggesting that we continue with the 24 hours for the Lord, which was such a powerful experience here in the Archdiocese last year. But so I'm hoping we're going to be able to build on the experience that we had. Sorry for a long answer.
No, absolutely. It's great to hear these various, pontifications, if you will, about the Year of Mercy. I think, too, being obviously very familiar with the cathedral myself there, I can say that I've seen longer lines at the cathedral for the Sacrament of Confession than I have in my years there prior. So it was great to see that. And I think that the Holy Father went out of his way to emphasize that we both need to receive God's mercy, yes. But then we also need to give and show God's mercy. And are there particular ways that, again, you've encountered either in your own life or in lives of others around you that you've seen people really embodying the mercy of God?
Well, I mean, I certainly am so taken by the extent to which our local church has really been involved in outreach to those in need. So whether it be from my, not from my office, but from my bedroom, I look out on the new Dorothy Day Center.
Right.
And, you know, seeing the extent to which our Catholic Charities has really been, and so many faithful in our archdiocese who are supporting Catholic Charities, have really been making a priority of reaching out to the homeless who are so present in our communities. I think that's a wonderful witness to being instruments of mercy. So I'm so grateful to all of those who are involved with that, for sure. But as I go from parish to parish and I hear about the different ways in which our local communities have embraced the Year of Mercy and are involved in outreach. I was at a parish this past Sunday, and they were speaking about their involvement in Haiti, for example,
mm-hmm.
and really seeing that as an opportunity for the whole parish to support the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and how important that has been for the parish community that was celebrating 135 years as a parish.
Right.
And in some ways, this is the proof that the Holy Spirit's been alive in the parish for 135 years, is that there is that great desire to go forth and to be instruments of mercy and reaching out to our brothers and sisters in need. And not only that parish, but so many of our parishes really have on their mind the importance of going out to the peripheries to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Right. So, speaking of which, so last Sunday you did celebrate a closing mass for the Year of Mercy at the Basilica of St. Mary there in Minneapolis. And yeah. How did that go, Archbishop?
It went really well. I mean, there's something, to be able to talk about closing the doors of mercy seems inappropriate.
Right, right.
Because we know that those doors are the doors to mercy, certainly in our hearts and in the Lord's heart, Sacred mm-hmm. Heart, are always open. But it was an interesting opportunity really for the church to celebrate what's happened in this past year and then to pray for the strength to be able to carry it forward even after those doors of mercy are closed. It was a very beautiful conclusion to the Mass. All of the people in the Basilica, and it was a huge crowd, people really coming from all over, but they all proceeded through the doors of mercy, and they were waiting outside as we had the opportunity for some closing prayers and closing remarks and as the doors were closed. But I think there was really a sense not only of how this has been a blessing in our lives, but how it is that we're now challenged to go forth and to really carry that message of mercy. You spoke about Father Ubel, who is technically a missionary of mercy, but all of us are called to be missionaries of mercy now that the year of mercy is closed.
No question. I'm just curious, Archbishop, if at that closing mass or in other areas, and as you encountered parishioners here from around the Archdiocese, did you sense any anxiety of people about the closing of the Jubilee year, the closing of the doors of mercy? Was anybody exhibiting that sort of anxiety about the closing of the year?
That wasn't my sense at all.
Okay.
In fact, it was really a celebration of God's goodness, of how the Lord has used this year to, and certainly it's been a difficult year for us as an archdiocese, but how the Lord has shown us his mercy and how he has once again put us on track for really being focused on being instruments of mercy. We were really blessed at the closing mass to have present a number of the religious sisters from throughout our diocese who were so obvious in their witness to mercy. So we had the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. We had Sisters of St. Peter Claver, all of these sisters who have dedicated their lives really to being the merciful hands of Christ. And it was reassuring knowing, of course, that they're going to be continuing in their mission renewed by this past year and that we're called to do the same.
That's very, very good. So just in closing, Archbishop, do you have just any encouragement for us on how to keep that spirit of the Year of Mercy alive?
Well, I think that ongoing reflection on what God has done in our lives, how he has shown us his mercy, is something that should be part of our daily examination of conscience. And certainly, as we are right on the cusp of Advent, of maybe making that part of our Advent reflection. Certainly, as we look at the larger scheme of things, when we think about the Lord breaking into the world in the Incarnation, at the same time, to be using those 4 weeks of Advent as a time to really reflect more deeply on the experience we had in the Year of Mercy and how it is that we're called in this new liturgical year to continue those same themes.
Very good. Archbishop, may we ask for your blessing?
Yes. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always.
Amen. Archbishop Hebda, thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. I was really grateful for the opportunity to be with you.
And so we are drawing this Rediscover Hour to a close. What a great message from Archbishop Hebda, was it not? Just that how to keep that spirit of mercy alive by reflecting on all that the Lord has done for us. But that said, you know what? We've got some things to go ahead into and not just look back, but look ahead. So, Paul, we've got some things coming up. What
do you
got
there for us? Well, you've got something brand new here. Be part of the new evangelization in the Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576. Or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
You are invited to the Advent Mission at the Church of St. Raphael in Crystal on Sunday, November 27th through Wednesday, November 30th. The theme is conversion and will be presented by the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, Redemptoris. Each evening begins at 7 p.m. and will include prayer, a talk, and fellowship in Marian Hall. In addition, on Tuesday, the Sacrament of Reconciliation will be available, and Wednesday evening will include Holy Mass. For more information, visit StRaphaelCrystal.org or call 763-537-8401.
Wine Women in the New Evangelization would like to invite women to an evening of faith, fellowship, and fun Thursday, December 1st. Wine will hold a Women, Wine, and Wisdom event at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center in Eagan. Evening begins at 7 p.m., social hour, followed by a speaker who truly knows how to get a kick out of life, one of only two women in the country who coach college football, Sister Lisa Maurer. Sister Lisa will present. Ever feel like you want to punt? Tackling life with joy. Space is limited, so be sure to reserve your spot today. Find out more, visit CatholicVineyard.com.
Women are also invited to join for an Advent Morning of Reflection presented by the St. Paul and Minneapolis Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women on Saturday, December 3rd from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter's in Mendota Heights. Invite your mother, aunts, daughters, sisters, and friends. The theme for this morning is The Year of Mercy, Where Do We Go From Here? The day includes talks by Dr. Anne Marie Klein, Father Michael Becker, and Mass with Bishop Andrew Cousins. The cost is $20, and for more information, visit the events page on archspm.org or call 651-291-4545.
St. Michael's Catholic Church in St. Michael is blessed to welcome Marianne Kaharski for their Advent Morning of Reflection. Saturday, December 3rd, Marianne will share ways to keep the true meaning of Christmas present in our hearts. Morning begins with Mass at 8 a.m. and includes breakfast, a presentation, adoration, and confession from 8:30 to 11:15 p.m. Prayer ministry is also available. So, for more information, visit stmcatholicchurch.org. And I should mention, too, that Marianne Kaharski will be the recipient of the Christ Brings Hope Award at the next dinner for that event coming up for Relevant Radio. Save the date for 2017, April 28th, the Christ Brings Hope Banquet at the J.W. Marriott at the Mall of America. And what is coming up next week?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Paul. Join us next week as we talk about a Marian view of Advent. We'll hear from Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary, as well as Dr. Anne Marie Klein, assistant professor at the Department of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Lucy Johnson, former president of ACCW, will join us as well to speak on the upcoming ACCW Advent Morning of Reflection. Thanks for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour, folks. I wish you a great start to your Advent season. May you find the Lord as you wait upon His return. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.